Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about all things Apple, since we are about 3 or 4 days before the iPhone launch. We expect to speak about products that Apple is going to announce, such as the Apple Watch Series 4 and 3 new iPhones, apart from some other improvements that we expect to see. Now, before we get into all of that, first let me introduce the person who's going to be speaking with me on this podcast. That is our editor-in-chief, which is Kunal Dua.
Hello, Orbitians, Orbitals, whatever we call you guys. Good to be here.
All right. I am your host, Pranay Parav, catering to all you Orbitalians who have been really good to us. And that is why you probably should listen to what's coming up next. This episode of Orbital is brought to you by GoalWise.com. What's GoalWise? It's a mutual fund investing website and app that helps everyone, especially smart people like you, achieve their financial goals. Now, you may be saving up for the latest iPhone, a vacation, to save tax, or just to get rich. GoalWise.com is your best friend for all of this. Now, once you pick your goals and a time frame, GoalWise uses its smart algorithm to recommend the best mutual funds for you to achieve them. Now, you can either invest small sums every month or a big sum in one go and sit back, relax, and watch your money grow. GoalWise doesn't charge you anything directly. It makes money by taking small commissions from mutual fund companies. Now, I've been using GoalWise for a year and a half, and I love how easy they make it to manage your money. My favorite feature is their customer service, and I cannot stress this enough. Their team really goes out of its way to help you out, and you can check that out yourself by going to GoalWise.com, which is GoalWise.com. Thanks so much to GoalWise for sponsoring this episode. All right, we are back after that short break to talk about all things Apple. So Kunal, what we are going to be trying to do on this episode is maybe reverse engineer the Apple event. So as we've seen in previous years, Apple always opens with a video. So WWDC this year, they tried that hilarious Planet Earth spoof video at the beginning, where they pretended that all the engineers are actually animals that are returning to their natural habitat, which obviously is WWDC. This time around for the iPhone event, I'm going to predict, go out there on a limb and predict that, okay, they will start with an intro video, which will probably be something emotional and touching. You know, something that says how the Apple Watch has saved somebody's life, or maybe how the iPhone has improved their life. Do you think that's going to happen?
I think it's safe to presume that there will be a video right at the start. And what you've just said sounds like a pretty safe bet as well. But another way that they could possibly go is have something around retail. I think that is something that they've done. They've updated quite a few stores. They've refreshed quite a few. There's a new design that has been going across the stores in US and other locations. So I wonder if they want to use that opportunity to say, hey, you know, look at our great new stores and give us a glimpse of that, because they love doing that as well. So I think it's safe to presume there will be some kind of a video right at the start before Tim Cook walks out, and it could go either way.
Yeah, and once the video is over, I expect them to talk about some of the features that they announced at WWDC, which is iOS 12 and something around tvOS, and what they've done with the watchOS as well. And there is that, you know, annual slide which they really like to show, which is that iOS 11 adoption is right now at 85%, and Android, whatever, Pi is the latest version, right? So Android 9 Pi adoption will be at some pathetic 0.3% or something like that, and they will definitely like to tout that figure. So in that segment, we can also maybe expect Tim Cook to start talking about some country which Apple is targeting. So I think 3 or 4 years ago, they had that brief moment where Tim Cook, I think, mentioned China on stage and how they are expanding their retail presence there or something. And I probably expect, you know, something on that note as well in this brief segment before they start talking about the products that they will launch.
Yeah, so updates around software, WWDC, like you mentioned, and to add to your point, I think I saw a story yesterday or day before that which said that iOS 11 adoption is now more than the last 4 major versions of Android combined. So whatever 80 or whatever percentage it is at, I think the last 4 versions of Android combined have fewer, less adoption. So yeah, that is something that Apple is, you know, and they would love to highlight something like that. Or they could even do, you know, how the sales have been. They've been setting records. They became $1 trillion company. So they have a lot of good good news to share And what better stage than the biggest tech event of the year, you know, where all the eyes would be to just drive home some of those points all over again.
Yeah, and in this segment, we can also expect something about their services segment, which probably will include something about how iCloud is, you know, amazing. And we have a new offer, which I think was spotted earlier, which is that you can get 200 GB storage or whatever for free for 3 months. And then after that, we'll probably charge you again or something similar. And some updates around Apple Music and how it's got X number of paid subscribers right now and it's growing so fast and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think Apple Music is again, I think they've been making inroads on that front, eating into Spotify's lead. And I think, yeah, just going back to your point, if I think the biggest announcement Apple could make probably at the event is that the 5 GB you know, store free tier is being upgraded to 50 GB or even 25 GB. I think that will be like the biggest cheer. You'll get hear the biggest cheer of the evening. Or the day, even compared to, you know, the newer iPhones, because that is something that really sticks out. You, even if you have like literally you have 10, 12, 14 Apple devices all linked to your Apple ID, you get like a grand total of 5 GB iCloud storage for free, which is like ridiculous. And in part, I'm sure that has helped Apple to drive the services revenue upwards. But I think Apple should really fix that.
Yeah, so without like making any stereotypes or anything like that, Apple under Tim Cook has probably been optimizing a bunch of things, such as their average selling price for the iPhone, which is going up pretty much constantly, and their services revenue is going up. And part of the reason for why this has been happening is that they devised that genius strategy of, okay, base tier is 16 GB on the iPhone, and then the next one is 64. So that reward for paying a little more is like way too much. Similarly, the free tier on the iCloud thing is just 5 GB. And after that, suddenly you have 10 times the storage for just 65 rupees a month. So I think that's probably how they've been driving this up. So I'm not sure if they bump up the iCloud storage. I'm not sure if they're going to bump it up to 50 GB, because then there would be like no motivation for anybody to move up to the paid tier, except for like a few crazy people like you and me, who will like pay for 1 TB or 200 GB regardless, because 50 GB is not enough for us. So I probably would maybe guess that 15 GB is a safe bet, considering that Google Drive offers that. But yeah, I don't think it's going up to 25 or even 50. That would be way too much and probably would eat into that revenue that they are getting from services.
Yeah, but there is something to be said about user experience as well, right? Especially if when you're paying what now, the iPhone 10 starts at $999, and we're going to see the, as we'll discuss a little bit later, we're going to see even more expensive phones. And imagine people buying that, and most people, again, even if you're buying that kind of phone, most people who are buying that phone are not exactly tech savvy. And if you're getting 5 or even 15 GB, how many photos can you realistically back up, right? And if you're being, that's, even if let's say that 99 cents honestly seems like, or 65 rupees, that seems like a real nickel and diming kind of a move in today's age, when you've paid about $1,000 or nearly 1 lakh rupees in India for a phone. And like I said, right, especially when you imagine that, yeah, I mean, you want to use one iCloud ID across your IDs for the perfect experience for syncing and things like that. And no matter how many devices you have, what you get is 5 GB storage. So that's another, it should at least be like devices link, right? The number of active devices that you have, multiply that by maybe 15, like you said, and that I would think would still be a generous limit. Let's say you have 2 iPads, 3 Macs and an iPhone. Okay, now maybe I'm starting to describe myself and that's not a typical user, but something like that. Like imagine you have 3 or 4 Apple devices, you should at least get what, 4 × 15, 60 GB, right? That sounds about right. But anything less than that, I mean, I think it's that's not the way, ideal way of you know, increasing service revenue, because that comes at the cost of user experience and user happiness.
Yeah, and for years there has been this assumption about Apple, right, that they will do anything to pinch pennies from you, like make sure that you pay more and more and more. And things like high accessory prices and just a measly 5 GB limit on iCloud have only served to sort of keep that stereotype or assumption going. And maybe this is one low-hanging fruit that they can easily target and say that, okay, it's going to go away now. So yeah, enjoy. And like you said, the loudest cheer would be reserved for that, simply because, you know, people have been frustrated for so long. So I think you know, after this, maybe we will start seeing the products. And they have this habit of keeping the most important product for last. So this year, I think the Apple Watch would probably come in first. I don't know about you, but I'm not very confident about any iPad showing up.
Yeah, me neither. I don't expect to see any iPads at this event. There have not been any significant leaks either. Like, there's been talk of, you know, bezel-less and Face ID iPads leading up to this, which seemed like the most... you know, most obvious upgrades, because the iPad Pro especially is at a really good place. I think, like, you use a 10.5 iPad Pro yourself, so I think I believe you love it as well. So there's not a lot for Apple to improve there, apart from these obvious things like you know, reducing the bezel size and adding a Face ID. What's your experience been like using the iPad Pro 10.5?
So it's really good, but there are a couple of things that are beginning to bother me. One is that the keyboard, the software keyboard, whenever it shows up, there is a small gap between like the base of the screen and that software keyboard. I don't know why it happens. It's a very weird bug for it to be like around for so long. I've been seeing it like all of this year. But otherwise, you know, the iPad is superb. Like, there's no performance related complaint that I can have. Watching movies and all is also a pretty good experience on this, because the screen is a little wider than the previous iPads, and also the stereo speakers are just amazing. So overall, I'm really happy. Whether I'm like sitting and writing my articles or playing games on the iPad, the experience is like equally good. I don't use it for photos much, so honestly, I don't even care if they remove the camera entirely on that. But you know, I've heard people saying good things about that too. So yeah, overall pretty positive. But yeah, like you said, adding those two upgrades from the iPhone 10, pretty much, which is all screen design with probably a notch, and Face ID, those two would be like really easy things to do to upgrade that. And maybe that'll be in another event later this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's been talk that they might do an event in like later this year, maybe next month, October, towards the end of October, and where we might see new Macs and iPads. But yeah, I mean, there's a small chance they might still do it at this event. They think that if they're just adding Face ID, and they feel it's not a big update, and they feel there's enough time at the event, they might just announce it at the event as well. But I think the chances of that happening right now are, as of this moment, are looking pretty slim.
So the first product that we really expect to see is the Apple Watch Series 4. Now, unfortunately for Apple, like 9to5 Mac, maybe, I don't know how they did it, but they managed to get a hand of a very legitimate looking product shot of the Apple Watch Series 4.
I saw on Reddit how they did it. Apparently they just brute forced the Apple URLs. Like, they just changed the URL, the name of the product in the URLs, and they just found the image sitting on Apple's live website. That's how they did it.
Oh my god, that's so bad. I mean, you know, see, if you're like a really smart listener, then what you can do is just look at the podcast URL on the website, and then try putting in, you know, normally we use something like Orbital 120 or 121. So try putting in the next episode, and sometimes you might hear it. So there you go, pro tip for you to listen to a podcast from the future.
Look at you giving away all our secrets on this podcast.
So, getting back to the Apple Watch Series 4, the screenshot, it's open in front of me. I'll put a link to this in the show notes. Now, it shows a very, very interesting watch face. Now, I always felt that all the watch faces they use, they don't utilize the screen like in an optimal fashion. So, you know, Apple Watch has maybe stayed away from the mainstream trend in most smartwatches that we've seen, is to go with a circular face, just like analog watches. Apple Watch is... rectangular with rounded edges, I would say, and at the edges of the screen there's so much space which often goes unutilized. So now this watch face that is there, not only does it use an analog clock face, it also has the activity rings there, Apple Music there, a nice little, you know, globe over there showing that, okay, you're a part of Earth and in this time zone. There's a date, and date is obviously mentioned there. And there is also a calendar, which is along the second bars, which are there in the analog side. And in all the four corners, they've put like weather, and there's one timer, and there's this one that, you know, sunset is going to happen at this time. And on the bottom left, I don't know what that is. It's UVI 3.6.
I don't
know what
like
it is.
UV meter, what kind of UV levels are there outside right now, which people in California need to worry about?
Yeah, exactly. So it seems like a pretty good use of the screen to pack in a lot of things and make the primary face useful, because I find it really tedious to open the app drawer and then open an app inside that. With the Series 2 in particular, now even the timer takes like 3-4 seconds to boot up. So yeah, this is, you know, a very nice thing to do.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot happening on this image, don't you? Like, I mean, what do you think? That it's there's so many complications now, and yeah, I mean, I think it's great to have that option, and I hope that it comes to other watch faces as well. Like, I don't know which watch face do you use, but I use modular, and I hope most of these complications, like the ability to essentially increase the number of complications, also comes to the modular watch faces. Though one of my complaints, which I had even asked Apple, especially now with the watchOS 5 coming, is and iOS 12 coming with, you know, with all this emphasis on Siri shortcuts, that if you see that they've been emphasizing the Siri watch face quite a bit, right? So I've been wondering what's the future for non Siri watch faces, because if shortcuts, let's say, take off in a big way, when iOS 12 comes out and all of us are using shortcuts for everything, I mean, that remains to be seen. And Siri is the way to invoke them, then where does that leave? That kind of leads the other watch faces as the second class citizens. That's what I've been thinking about. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But that aside, like I said, you know, I hope all these complications and the ability to increase the number of complications to what we're seeing in this image, what about 8 or 9 complications I can see, then I hope we get that in, you know, other watch faces as well.
Yeah, I would probably guess that the Siri part of the watch face could be integrated with others as well. For example, I use the activity face, the digital one, not the analog one. So in that, there is still space for 3 complications, one at the bottom as a long bar, and one at the top left and one at the top right. So now, you know, the bottom bar could probably be like used to show the latest thing or the most important thing that Siri decides. So that's maybe one way to do it, and I'm pretty sure there are similar ways to do this kind of a thing in other watch faces as well. I mean, that is if Apple is inclined to do it. I'm not sure if they would be willing to sort of do that for every watch face, but for some of them I'm pretty sure it can be done. But yeah, for this one in particular, where they've added so many things, if you see that 12 p.m. lunch with Ken thing, that kind of a thing is where the Siri watch face could be coming in handy. Like, you know, instead of showing 12 p.m. lunch with Ken, it could show the most important thing of the day, whatever it thinks is something that needs your attention.
Yeah, but the way Siri watch face has worked so far, it's not just one thing. It's like a stream of stuff that you can, you know, scroll around and things like that. But I see what you're saying, that technically they could make Siri a complication in itself is probably what you're saying. And
yeah.
I think, yeah, it depends which way they want to go with that. That'll be an interesting thing, because, yeah, unless they do that, then Siri watch face is, you know, kind of probably, I don't know, maybe a lot of people inside Apple use the Siri watch face as their primary watch face. And if that's the case, then it's great, because, I mean, and what the experience that you get, especially if Siri works for you, which again... it's probably a more US-centric thing than for us in India. I think if we start complaining about Siri, we may, you know, clearly run out of time on this podcast, and this is not the forum for that.
And the next 5 podcasts as well. So yeah.
So essentially, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But there's a lot happening. Like, this is reminding me of the original Apple Watch, where Apple said, okay, let's cram in as many features as we can. There was those heartbeats and this and that, and so since then, Apple has clearly, you know, simplified the watch and made it more fitness focused and things like that. So this seems like we're going back, okay, let's throw the kitchen sink at it. But thankfully, I mean, at least based on what we've seen so far, most of this, you know, you'll be able to turn off, and this will be optional. Essentially, you don't have to have those complications there all the time. So I guess at least that's good.
Yeah, there is that. The other thing I noticed in this is that the big red dot on the digital crown, which is the big round button on the side, that is gone. It's replaced by a much more simple, you know, red line, an outline sort of a thing. It's a nice touch. Doesn't make the watch stand out or look too gaudy either. So yeah, I definitely appreciate that. And I can't see any other changes in the body apart from this screenshot at least.
That's I think a welcome change. And there is this mic, there is this hole I think which is below the crown, and which could probably, I mean, which is being rumored to be a mic for additional like clarity, voice clarity and input. And yeah, I think that red, the whole crown being red really sticks out on the LT variant. So this is nice to see. It's a more understated option. I still don't know why we need it at all. Why? I still don't understand that. But I guess it's at least better there that they're toning it down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably to let like thieves and all know, okay, this guy has an LTE watch. So, you know, he has a red ring. Steal this one. It's better than the other one.
Yeah, Apple watching out for thieves, I guess.
Okay, then. So, I think that's pretty much all we know so far about the Apple Watch, like Series 4. There is, you know, the big topic still waiting for us. So, maybe it's a good time to move to that, which is the iPhone, or should I say the iPhones that Apple is going to launch. All the rumors, leaks, etc. so far point to 3 models being launched this year. 2 of these are going to be OLED, just like the iPhone X. Which means, you know, they use better display technology, I would say. And the third one, which is rumored to be the cheaper one in massive air quotes, which is supposed to be an LCD model. So first things first, let's just talk about this cheaper iPhone, Kunal. Do you really expect it to be cheap, or is it, you know, cheaper in the sense that, okay, the other two will probably cost $1,000 and above, and this one may be at like $600 or $700?
So yeah, it will be cheaper, but yeah, it will not be cheap. I think if you're expecting, you remember when the iPhone 5C came out, you know, before that people were like, okay, Apple is going to release a cheap iPhone, finally an iPhone for India and this and that. And then I think it was what, $100 or $150, something like that, cheaper than the iPhone 5S. And yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, then everybody was like, whoa.
Don't forget the 8GB storage variant of the iPhone 5C. Never forget that.
That probably came in at a later stage, I'm guessing, right? But was that, I don't think that was at launch, or was it?
Yeah, it came a little later, but you know, that was their attempt at making it cheaper by 2,000 rupees.
Oh, I seem to have blocked that out completely from my memory, I guess, just trying to survive. So I think, like you said, the 3 models, right? So I would expect the iPhone XS, the iPhone X successor, which is now apparently being called iPhone XS, that I presume would stick around at the same price point, so $999. And yeah, so I think just a note for our listeners at this point, I don't think it makes a lot of sense for us to talk about the India pricing of the phones at this point, because the way the rupee is headed and the way Apple has priced things in the past, I mean what the iPhone prices in India are going to be are anyone's guess. So I think we'll stick to using the US pricing of the iPhones as the baseline for our discussion, just to keep things simple, because like I said, there's no point getting into the India pricing at this stage. So yeah, the iPhone XS, I would expect the iPhone X successor, which the same size, etc., and you know, whatever the an upgraded chip and cameras, etc., I would expect that to be the same price at like $999. And the iPhone, this cheaper iPhone, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be called the iPhone XC, and it's going to, which we expect to have a 6.1-inch LCD screen, I'm going to say it's going to be either $799 or more realistically $849 US dollars. So that's the pricing that I would expect it to be at. So clearly, still, if you compare it to what the iPhone 8 pricing or even the iPhone 8 pricing used to be or is right now, that's still more expensive than that. And, you know, just pushing the average selling price of the iPhone even higher, then that's music to the ears of everybody within Apple and Apple shareholders.
Okay. So, based on what you just said, I have 2 questions. One is the bigger iPhone, like, first of all, the name, do you think it'll be iPhone XS Max or something like that? Or, you know, something else. And what happens to the existing iPhone X? Do you think it will be discontinued or sold at a cheaper price?
Yeah, so the first one, I think the name is already leaked. Again, thanks by a 925 Mac. There apparently is going to be called the iPhone XS Max, which is just a terrible name. And so they seem to be dropping the plus moniker, and they seem to be going now with the iPhone XS Max. And And yeah, I think I expect that pricing to be, if let's say, say we said 999 is going to be 10S, I expect this to be something like 1149 US dollars. And yeah, I think the second one, I'm not sure. I think the one thing I was trying to, you know, map out what the updated iPhone lineup would look like post this event. And I'm not sure if the iPhone 10 actually sticks around. That is something I still have a little bit of a question mark over. Because right now, if you see, Apple still sells the iPhone SE. Even in US, you have the iPhone SE, 6S and 6S Plus. All A9 powered phones at $349, $449, $549 US dollars. So I'm expecting those three to go away. And I think, again, there is a slight question mark on the SE. Maybe Apple might just... you know, keep that hanging around until they have another, you know, the event maybe in March, like they introduced the iPhone SE a few years back. They might do another March event this year when they actually launch its successor. But I wouldn't be surprised either way if they either, you know, kind of stop selling the SE in the US at least, and or if they like even continue it. So I think that's one other place where I'm a little bit unsure. But yeah, I think the 6S and 6S Plus, obviously, then it's a no-brainer. They'll go away. The 7, 7 Plus probably most likely will then, you know, become like the cheapest phones, all 810 powered devices, $449, $549 most likely. The 8 and 8 Plus, again, I think would probably stick around just to for those cheaper price points. But the 10, yeah, is one question mark, because the way I'm seeing it, the updated lineup would look like starting at $449 for the 7, US dollars for the 7. And then $549 for the 7 Plus, $599 for the 8, $699 for the 8 Plus. And so then there is a bit of a gap, like I said, right? Then from there to either $799 or $849 more realistically for the iPhone XC that we talked about earlier. And so yeah, then you have the $999 for the XS and probably $1149 for the XS Max. So there's a bit of a gap where Apple could potentially, you know, make the 10 stick around. But I, if I had to bet, I'd probably go out on a limb and say that no, it's not going to stick around, especially if the 10 sees around $849.
Yeah, I mean, I would, that would be my guess as well, because like if you have a, even if the phone is a one with an LCD display, if you have a phone that performs better in terms of camera, in terms of processor speed, etc., and then you have this iPhone 10, which is supposed to be their flagship premium phone, at available at a slightly higher or the same price, yeah, that sort of devalues the phone a lot, right? So I don't think it's going to stick around for that reason alone. And the XS probably will replace this one. So, you know, all of this is like America-centric, whatever we said so far. What about India? Now, there are two things to consider here. One is that the iPhone 10 is already ridiculously expensive here. If you look at the 256GB variant, that is going at, I think, over 1 lakh rupees. And if now you consider the fact that this whole rupee against the dollar thing is making big news. So as we are recording, the rupee, I think, hit 72. Like $1 is 72 rupees, which is probably the lowest rupee has ever been in its lifetime. So that has traditionally impacted iPhone prices a lot. So this year, what do you think is going to happen?
I think you should bring out the kidney jokes and Thailand trip jokes and LCD jokes, all of them, and keep them all ready, because that's what we're going to see. And Apple, yeah, I think we've seen, you know, Apple India has also has been in the news, has had a change in leadership, which is, I mean, reportedly there has been a change in strategy as well, where they've kind of, they want to do away with the discounting that has been prevalent online, and even, you know, via all those cashback and all these other offers. And now they don't want to concentrate on volume. They want to just concentrate on profitability. So, I mean, if that is indeed the case, then, I mean, then there's really, like, if you're expecting any kind of aggressive pricing from Apple, that's not going to be the case, which is a little bit sad, because if you see what Samsung did with the Note 9, even though that was a $999 phone, if I'm not wrong, even in the US, what they did in India was, like, they had some terrific pricing. It was sub 70,000, the same pricing as last year. So I think Samsung is clearly using this as an opportunity. They're so I think they're showing that there are ways to do that. But then the Note, you know, Samsung also has a huge presence in India in terms of manufacturing. So they're able to, you know, offset those costs like that. And Apple is as limited manufacturing footprint here. They're, what they're manufacturing are also older models, so they can't really escape the import duties and things like that when it comes to their latest models. So yeah, I think I don't think you should expect any kind of a pleasant surprise in terms of pricing. You'll definitely, especially if a 512 GB model, as was rumored. I've not seen those rumors recently, so I'm not sure what's happening on that front. But I wouldn't be surprised if this is the year that Apple decides to release a 512 GB model as well. I think they've already done that with the iPads, so I wouldn't be surprised if they do that with the iPhone this year. And imagine the pricing for the iPhone XS Max 512 GB. Wow, that should be a lot of India pricing for that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably buy a car in that price, second hand or something.
Yeah, totally. I think the Nano is probably not around anymore. Yeah, otherwise you could have bought a new car within that. Maybe, I'm guessing, I don't know if the Alto is still around or like, maybe I'm sure there's an entry level Maruti that you could buy at that price of that. So yeah, that should be a lot of fun. I think Apple will definitely give a lot of material for headline writers and memes and things like that once these phones come out.
I'm sure all these sites are already sweating their palms and licking everything getting all these things ready, so we can definitely expect a bunch of jokes to come in.
One thing which probably will be more exciting for Indians on a happier note is that Apple is tipped to bring dual SIM support to iPhones for the first time. And that is something actually I'm looking forward to seeing. I've used a bunch of Android phones in the past and I've never really liked the way they've implemented the dual SIM functionality is implemented. I'm looking forward to seeing how Apple tackles that. There is even this question mark, will they, I don't know, I've not seen this mentioned anywhere, but maybe they do one physical SIM and the second is an eSIM. I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, exactly. That is the theory I have, which is based on one more reason if you notice some of the things that have come to the Apple Watch first, such as that OLED screen, they end up making it to the iPhone a year later. So OLED, I think the Apple Watch came in first, and then a couple of years later we had the iPhone 10 coming in. Similarly, the eSIM was there on the LTE version of the Apple Watch released last year. So this year, perhaps we could see them doing dual SIM in that way, because I certainly don't think they want to do all those weird cutout things that you see all these Android manufacturers doing with one slot for micro SD, two slots for SIM cards, etc. I don't see Apple doing that kind of a thing at all. It's really un-Apple-like.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Apple won't do a micro SD, but yeah, I see where you're coming from, and I think a more elegant solution would be eSIM. Well, you have one physical SIM and you can get a eSIM, and now in India also we have eSIM support. I think it's still limited to Jio and Jio and Airtel for the Apple Watch at least. I don't know if Vodafone and others have actually rolled out and they've just not signed up for the Apple Watch, or if they're just waiting for the new iPhones and they'll probably announce it then. It's definitely a possibility. And yeah, the convenience of that is that you go to the iPad, you go to any country, and T-Mobile in fact in the US offers a free plan I know if it's for the iPad, I don't know if it's available for the phones as well, but yeah, you get 200 MB I believe data, which doesn't sound like a lot of data, but it's great when you're in the middle of nowhere and there's an emergency or something and you just want to quickly send an email or a message or iMessage or whatever, and it's literally free for life, so you don't need to worry about maintaining anything. So that, and it's all, you sign up for it via the iPad, you don't need to give any documentation, nothing. So eSIM enables all those kind of use cases. So imagine you're roaming to another country, you don't need to buy another SIM card. You don't even need to take out your existing SIM card, put in another SIM card. You just sign up for a plan in that country from that operator on your iPhone itself, and you make the payment. In this case, I'm guessing 200 MB for your primary phone, I'm guessing, will not be good enough. So you'll want to pay for that. So imagine just doing all that, the ability to do all that without taking out your SIM or even putting another SIM and things like that. So I think that would definitely be an Apple-like situation, a solution, like you said. So I would really like to see something like that as far as the dual SIM support is concerned.
Yeah, and it would be very, very Apple-like to put the dual SIM support only in the most expensive model, so that there is, much more of that motivation to pay that extra money that they're asking for.
Yeah, and now that you mention it, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. I mean, I certainly hope that they, you know, do it across the new line and across the new phones. But yeah, I think now that you mention it, I wouldn't be surprised if Apple actually did that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if it's an eSIM, in like especially, I would be so angry if they do it only on the higher end variant, because come on, guys, like space-wise, it's going to cost you exactly the same amount, even if it's a smaller iPhone. But you know, we'll see. I'll reserve my rage for until after the iPhone event is over.
Yeah, or
So
maybe the way, yeah, or maybe the way they justify it is by actually saying, oh, you know, it's a physical second slot, and you know, oh, there was space only in our biggest model, which just happens to be the most expensive as well.
yeah, courage, right? Anyway, so do you think, like, apart from this, there are some other changes that I expect to be there? So I think some of these are pretty much low-hanging fruit. Like one of these things is something you complained about in the iPhone 10 review, I think last year, which is that, you know, the bundled accessories are not adequate. So the fast charger in particular is one thing.
Yeah, so I mean, all these expensive iPhones, have they just been shipping with a standard 5-watt charger, which I don't believe has changed much since the, you know, since a long time, if not the original iPhone. And I didn't use the original iPhone, so I don't really remember that, but I know it's not changed for a long time. So yeah, I think that is something which is, like you said, a really low-hanging fruit. Apple should really fix that, and they should really, about time, they bundled a fast charger in the box, which hopefully is not, you know, the size of the MacBook charger. Hopefully something much more compact, and ideally the size of, I mean, maintain the same size and portability of the current charger, and just give it fast charging capabilities. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I would at least, this is maybe, you know, I'm just wishing for this, but I hope they go Type-C to Lightning this year. That the ch that charger, that compact charger with fast charging, it's a Type-C cable. You know, it ships with a Type-C cable, so that you know, I am trying to go all Type-C in whenever I'm traveling, because I have a MacBook Pro. So that, I mean, and I'm trying to, you know, most the Android phone that I also use has Type-C charging. So it would be great. I already bought a couple of third-party Type-C to, you know, Lightning cables, but it would be great if Apple ships that in the box. So yeah, so you can finally use an Apple cable to charge, you know, your phone, or connect your phone to your laptop, and with a cable that actually comes out of the box. I know Apple will sell you a Type-C to Lightning cable at a cost, but it would be great if it actually came in the box now.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you can afford a MacBook Pro, so why can't you afford to pay us $30 more for this cable or whatever?
Yeah, that is, I think that is the logic, and that's like an endless logic, right? You know, why, if you can pay us this, why don't you pay us this? This is an endless, this Apple meets Amazon. Because you paid us for this, you should also pay us for this, kind of a logic there.
Yeah, so the other low-hanging fruit here for Apple to fix, maybe, or actually spoil, is the 3.5 mm headphone jack adapter, Lightning to 3.5 mm. Do you think that's gonna go away this year, or are we still like a few years away from that?
I think it's going to continue to ship, and yeah, if it doesn't, I think my friend Neelay Patel at The Verge, I think you'll probably hear him complain about things even more. And he's so I think clearly it's Apple dropping the headphone jack has upset a lot of people, and I think if they do stop bundling that as well, they'll be like, oh, Apple can't afford to give us this 40 cent, and probably not even 40 cent, at the scale that they make, it's probably like 4 cents for them accessory. And yeah, I think I in fact, I saw this report that on Best Buy, I think that's like the best selling Apple accessory. So maybe Apple could even go either way. Hey, we stop selling this, or stop bundling this, we can sell even more. So I don't know, but no, I would be
But
like, jokes aside, I would be surprised if they stop bundling that. I think that's going to stick around.
yeah, so that best-selling thing could also be because it's so cheap. I mean, in India only it's some 800 or 900 rupees. In Apple land, that's like pretty much throwaway price. So maybe that is another reason why it's, you know, selling a
Yeah,
lot.
obviously, I think, yeah, you know, the cheaper or the more affordable the accessory is, the volumes are obviously going to higher. So yeah, I think you're right, and that's kind of a point that a lot of people miss, that part of the reason this is the most, you know, best selling is because, yeah, the pricing is so less. So obviously, a $100 charger is a $100 laptop charger is not going to sell as much. But yeah, that also
Yeah.
means that people are probably losing their old ones, and it's, yeah, it's easily you know, and you can easily end up losing this unless you're a really organized person, so which you wouldn't be able to relate to because you are a really organized person. So.
Yeah, but like I don't think I've touched mine ever since I got the AirPods. So I gave Apple some more money, and yeah, that solved this problem entirely. So there
Apple
you
loves you.
I'm sure. Anyway, so final two things for us to touch upon. One is something that we should have predicted earlier for the Apple event, which is Jony Ive's famous White World videos. So one for the Apple Watch, one for three iPhones. And maybe they'll do a one more thing and probably ship that, you know, mysterious air power charger which has never been seen after that unveil last year.
Wow, that is one, you know, a huge embarrassment for Apple, right? That something
yeah.
they announced at the last iPhone event, and what it was supposed to ship by the end of the year, or was it like early next year? What was it?
Early, I think early this year.
So yeah, early 2018 it was supposed to ship, and what I think, and there's been like nothing on it at all. And yes, I think it's, they obviously ran into some kind of issues that they're not anticipated, and it's this, I think this, if Steve was around, as this famous saying goes, he would remind you, this people is why you don't pre-announce products, right?
Yeah, because exactly.
I think it's famously, Apple has been famous for not pre-announcing products, but they've been breaking that a lot.
Remember Apple
the
Watch?
The Mac Pro for different reasons, because I think there was a lot of backlash and a lot of people were worried about the future of the Mac. So I think the Mac Pro you can probably still understand, but they did that with the HomePod, they did that with the iMac Pro. And yeah, largely I think those products shipped on time, but this is a brand new product, a brand new category, something Apple had never done before. And here you are, you know, a year later, there's no sign of that product. Hopefully we heard something about it. Or Apple could just, you know, pretend that never happened. But I don't know. that is something. Where? What is your prediction? Do you think you'll see Apple will acknowledge that at the event? Or like there are two ways they could do it. Like, or rather there are three ways they could do it. They're just completely, you know, they just show it again, never acknowledge that they announced it. Or and then they're saying, okay, this is here now. And they announce a pricing and they announced the release date. Second is that they acknowledge, they apologize, and then, you know, they do the same. Or third is like we won't hear about it at all at the event. So which one do you think will it be?
No, I think they will joke about it on stage and, you know, unveil it anyway. That's probably the most likely, because of late we've seen that slightly, how do I put it, like self-deprecating humor on stage sometimes from, you know, certain Apple executives saying that, yeah, we said that we may have, you know, messed up. Or when they are showing certain features such as that notifications thing on iOS 12 when Federighi was on stage. He grouped those notifications and he said, yeah, we know this has been long pending. So something like that.
Yeah, so Phil Schiller comes in and does whatever is the opposite of can't innovate anymore, my ass. Like whatever is the opposite of that. He does that and says, yes, it's going to ship. And yeah,
so anyway, that. Finally, Tim Cook has repeatedly been saying things about India, that he's very interested in the market, and after China, this is probably the market that they can grow the most in, because, hey, we have more people here, but their actions have so far not exactly matched up. Earlier, you mentioned the pricing issue. One thing we haven't mentioned is the fact that Apple's own apps don't really work that well in India. If you go and see on Apple's website, there is that section which has those numbers right next to every feature. So it'll say, okay, this feature works only in these many countries. And you see things like Apple Pay, which is missing. Siri, you know, part of, like, not all Siri features are here. Once again, things like, you know, Apple TV remote, you can't use Siri on that. Then also there is the big hole that is Apple Maps. You know, currently doesn't even have turn-by-turn navigation here, and expected to get that in 2020 sometime, according to certain reports coming out of, you know, based on sources from their Hyderabad office. So not exactly sure what's happening on that front.
Yeah, I think that's like you rightly mentioned, right? That's the other, or I would say that's the biggest blot on Apple's, you know, copybook in India, at least, that the software experience that, you know, is not as great as the, if you're using Google services on Android, or even if you're using Google services on Apple's own platform, I would say, you know, things like Maps and there are great on even, like, either you don't need to be using an Android phone to use Google Maps. So you don't get the same level of integration, obviously. You know, there are some apps which will not let you default, like Apple's own apps, famously Calendar and things like that. You can't really go from Calendar, you know, to do that. So that level of integration is not there. So I think which some of these events kind of gloss over that, like I was alluding to earlier during when we were talking about the Siri watch face, that when you're in Mountain View and, you know, your all your addresses and your directions and your time for the next meeting, all those features work flawlessly. You don't really realize that if people were actually paying more money for those devices in countries like India, the experience that they are having is suboptimal. So I think that's a huge that's the biggest problem that Apple needs to fix. And unfortunately, even with iOS 12, most of those points remain unaddressed. I know they talked about you know, there was this story in TechCrunch. They gave Matthew Panzerino a preview of Apple Maps, and ironically, they're saying that they'll start fixing with the Bay Area. So I mean that is already, that area already has probably the best Apple Maps experience that you can get anywhere, and that's where they're starting to fix. So I don't know when it will come to India. You're saying some reports say 2020, and then, but yeah, things like Siri, I think so over the years it has improved with how it works with Indian accents, but there's so many features that you mentioned they're not available here. So I think Apple, that is an area where Google is kind of, you know, miles ahead, and which is not great, because while you're using Google services, there are a lot of compromises that you need to make in terms of privacy and you know, your data not being as private as you would like. So it's about time that Apple really fixed these points.
Yeah, exactly. But what motivation do they have also, right? I mean, if they have, you know, something like a market like China, they have so many users there. But if you look at a market such as India, it's what, 0.5, 0.8% market share here, something like that. If it was 1%, I'd be really surprised. And for that small an audience, like, how motivated will you be to improve your services quickly? I'm not expecting these services to be improved at any point in the near future. But yeah, for that to happen, I think there has to be a shift in their strategy. While it's, you know, all fine and dandy to say that, okay, we are happy to keep this a premium product and only for the premium market, etc., there has to be some kind of a limit now. So this year, I'm pretty sure even for the iPhone XS, they will be either very close to or above the 1 lakh rupee price barrier. And 1 lakh is a lot of money. Like, that is money enough in this country for you to basically, like, if you have that as your emergency fund, then you are financially secure. So, you know, asking people to pay that much money for your phone simply because you can't maybe figure out, you know, things such as manufacturing locally or taxes and other import duties, you can't figure out how to, you know, get them reduced, that is asking a bit much, I think. And I'm not sure it's going to change unless and until they maybe pick out a good iPhone, such as the iPhone 7, for example, which is still like really quick, even with iOS 12, and there are no unexpected slowdowns on this, and battery life is also pretty good on that. Unless you like pick that kind of a phone and start making it in India and like selling it at a reasonable price, say around the 30,000 rupee price bracket, I don't see this changing at all. Like, you can't expect everyone to be making that display size compromise with the iPhone SE and picking it up at like 18,000 or 19,000 or whatever price it's available at right now. And you can't say that, okay, your second best option in India is the iPhone 6S at 35,000. For a 3-4 year old phone, 35,000, like, that's just way too much.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all, you know, everything that you said right now, and except that I don't think even if they, let's say, start manufacturing the iPhone 7 today locally and they like, not manage to bring the pricing down to a reasonable level, I don't think even that is like a winning strategy. Like, obviously that depends on your definition of winning. If Apple, like, if the reports are true and Apple now thinks, okay, we're not chasing market share, not that they were ever chasing market share, even when they were supposedly doing really, really well a couple of years back, they were, I think, about 3-4% of the market tops. Now in the latest figures, they have been down to less than 1%, which is the lowest that they've been in a while. So yeah, if they're, let's say, saying, okay, whatever we sell, even if we're 1%, our margin is like 40% or 50% or whatever their internal numbers are, and if they're happy with that, then fine. I mean, yeah, then you're right. Then they don't need to essentially, I mean, then there's no need for the lip service of we being bullish on India. And then, you know, fine, you say, you know, we're happy being a niche player and we want to, okay, leverage India's developer ecosystem. We want to leverage India's talent for things like our center in Hyderabad. But yeah, I think as far as devices are concerned, we understand, you know, $150, this will always be a market or at least in the near future, this will be a market where you know, $150 is about what people would pay for a phone, and you know, but what 85% of the phones sold in smartphones sold in India are below that figure. So yeah, I think acknowledge that and say, okay, we are happy being bit part players in this. But yeah, so I think there is a bit of a disconnect, like you said earlier, that okay, they think Apple talks big, and then I think that they need to figure it out, what is it that they want to do. I think if they really want to make a dent, they need to actually, I mean, something again, I don't think they'll ever do, but have a new device which is only for India and like a couple of other markets. And I mean, it's just a marketing exercise. It can be very much iPhone 7 internals or, you know, whatever, but it needs to look like a new phone, because people, when they're spending, again, if you, even if let's say they're selling it for 25 or 30,000, which again, I don't see how they'll do that in the current, you know, with the rupee being where it is and things like that and all the other market conditions. Even if, let's say, people are spending that kind of amount, that's a huge amount. Like, people don't want to buy, you know, a two-year-old phone for that kind of money, right? When you can buy a OnePlus 6T or OnePlus 6 or a Poco F1 and things like this, which again, there are compromises that those devices, as you know, make as well to hit certain price points. They're not perfect phones, but they're at least new phones, right? And that matters. Nobody wants to willingly buy a two-year-old product. So put some effort. You'll have to do that. If you're really serious about this market, you'll have to do that, because that's what everybody else has done. Like, the companies that have succeeded in India, let's look at the companies that have succeeded in India last few years. They are the ones who've actually made an effort of designing products for the Indian market. And then those products come to other markets as well. But they are pretty clear that these products are made for India, and then now in most of the cases made in India. So until you make that kind of a commitment, you just have to be happy being a bit part player. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying like, you know, Apple can very well say right now, whatever, 1-2% share, as long as we are not losing money or we're making money, no matter whatever that share is, we are happy. And that's a perfectly valid strategy. But if you are chasing market share and, you know, and profitability at the same time, you'll have to put in some effort, come in and you know, do that hard work. And yeah, so until they do that, I think it'll continue to be the same.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I really hope that they change their strategy a bit and do something that's India focused to maybe, you know, reach out to the mass market a little more. Because you know, the premium strategy, like, okay, fine, if you want to do that, I am okay with that. But I mean, it's not like your phones are at any like reasonably attainable price, right? I thought that, okay, if their starting price is at 60,000, then it's like, all right, sure, like I'll have to save for a year and maybe I'll get there. That's probably like, maybe, you know, me speaking from a very privileged position as well. Most people can't even like afford to think of that. But still, working people who have like day jobs in India and have a salary of around, say, 30,000-40,000, which is, you know, a pretty standard thing in big cities, can save for a year or so, and then maybe, you know, or maybe pick these phones up on an EMI where they pay like 4,000-5,000 a month. That's attainable. But at like 1 lakh plus, even that is going to be a stretch, because you pay for an EMI for 3 years, and by that time you probably don't even want the phone anymore. So
yeah, nobody should
exactly
be spending
sure.
1 lakh rupees on a phone. I think even people who can afford to, 1 lakh is like too much money to spend on a phone, honestly. Like, unless you are literally swimming with money, right? You're somebody who buys a, like Samsung came out with a Note, okay, let me get this as well. And then Apple has a new phone, let me get that as well. And there's some people in around us who have that kind of money, and find more power to you, just looking for places to spend money. But it's not as if the iPhone 10 experience is so, it's a great phone, you know, don't get me wrong. It's iPhone 10 is by far the best phone I've, as far as the way the software and hardware integrate, it's the best integration I've seen on a smartphone ever. So, you know, major props to Apple for coming up with, you know, Face ID and everything else that works flawlessly. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, 1 lakh is a lot of money for anybody to spend on a phone, right? Because what you spend a little bit, twice that amount, and you can buy a car, and you can, like, whatever. I mean, there's so much more that you can do, which is probably more important than a phone. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just why the hypocrisy, Apple? That's something that, you know, if I ever meet these people, this is the question I will ask them. And on one hand, you're saying, okay, you're bullish about India, blah, blah, blah. And on the other hand, you know, you have these phones priced at like insane amounts. And then thirdly, when I go around anywhere, whether it's like train stations or, you know, like right outside there on the highway or like any other place, I see these hoardings or billboards where Apple is saying that you can buy an iPhone at an EMI and you will pay 5,599 rupees per month. I mean, seriously, Apple, like, for on the one hand, you're pricing these phones at above 1 lakh. And on the other hand, you want to show me this number in a billboard, 5599, with a small asterisk next to it. And, you know, at the bottom, you say EMI amount and not the full amount. What kind of messaging is this? Like, decide, guys, what do you want? Do you want to be a premium brand? If you want to be a premium brand, then, you know, try to cater to those people who, for whom, like, 1 lakh is pocket change. If you want to be a mass market brand, then price the phones lower. You can't do this. This is just not correct.
Yeah, I mean, no, that marketing, I mean, that EMI thing is like a standard marketing tactic, which like everybody does. So, I mean, yeah, I personally have no problems with that. But yeah, I see where you're coming from, because I mean, yeah, you have this, that they've been using EMIs and they've been using, you know, older devices to hit price points. But yeah, I think we can continue talking about this. But until, you know, like we said earlier, that until they, like, they need to relook where they want to be and where they, you know, what strategy they want to use. And they're probably in the middle of doing that, I think. But so I think this cycle we'll see, get to see the pricing, we'll get to see what kind of offers they are, what's happening to the older models, what's the messaging they are giving out to, you know, their dealers in terms of what they want to do. When the Diwali season comes around, we'll get an idea about what's happening, you know, with the iPhone deals, etc. So I think the next couple of months, even if Apple will obviously not say anything explicitly, but I think the signals that we get from the market in the next couple of months will make it clear where Apple's strategy is going to be.
Yeah, so we'll see that. I think that's pretty much all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And if you like this show, don't forget to subscribe to us via Apple Podcasts on your iPhone and Google Podcasts on your Android phone. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back with another episode next week.